Hello everyone. Welcome to Build 2016. I'm sure everyone is excited after Scott's keynote and looking forward to build their next cross-platform application using Xamarin and using .NET. If you have been a XAML developer, I'm sure you must have wondered at times why I cannot edit my XAML source while my application is still being debugged. You must have thought, if VS can help you easily investigate the performance issues and help you fix them. I'm Navis Saxena, Program Manager in VS, and today we are going to talk about what's new in VS for Universal Windows developers. At Build, we are shipping two different versions of VS, VS 2015 Update 2 and VS 15. VS 2015 Update 2 is a go-live version of VS. You can install it on your machine and develop a UWP application targeting either Windows 10 RTM, which is 15.07, or Windows 10 November release, which is 15.11. You can develop an app and upload it to the store. VS 15, however, is a preview release. You can install it to explore some of the new tools that I'm going to show in my talk. But we don't recommend you to install VS 15 preview in a production environment. Also, as Kevin mentioned in the keynote yesterday, at Build, we are releasing a new SDK, Windows 10 Anniversary SDK. This SDK is also a preview SDK, so you can install it to explore some of the new APIs and features that we are planning to ship. But installing this SDK in a production environment breaks go live. If you install it on a machine, you can no longer use that machine to develop any UWP applications that can be shipped in store. So our recommendation is do not install this SDK in a production environment. Also, as part of VS 15 preview, we are shipping an improved and updated version of .NET Native Toolchain. This new version of .NET Native Toolchain includes more than 600 bug fixes over the last 9 months, addressing some of the key customer feedback. It improves the VS build throughput for .NET Native in VS, and we have fixed a number of issues around reflection to improve the correctness of .NET Native Toolchain as well. So my recommendation is, if you have an existing UWP application, install VS 15 preview in a non-production environment, try compiling your code against the latest version of .NET Native Toolchain, and make sure everything works. If you're running into issues, send us an email, and we will work with you to investigate those and fix these issues. Now let's actually switch to VS and look at some of the new features that we are shipping for Universal Windows applications. If you have developed a UWP application, if you have developed a managed UWP application, I'm sure that you know that every managed Universal Windows application uses, and I'm not sure. Every managed Universal Windows application uses a reference to .NET Core Universal Windows Platform NuGet package. What this NuGet package is essentially it contains all the .NET Core framework assemblies that are supported, that are compatible with UWP platform. If you have created a project in VS 2015 RTM or VS 2015 Update 1, by default, you are targeting the 5.0.0 version of .NET Core UWP NuGet package. With VS 15 preview, we are releasing an update to .NET Core UWP NuGet package, that is 5.1.0. Think about this release as a quality update. We have fixed a number of issues that are reported by the customers in the .NET Core framework assemblies, and that all the cumulative fixes are shipped as an update to the .NET Core a NuGet package. So recommendation is, if you have an existing app, go and use the latest version of .NET Core UWP NuGet package, that is 5.1.0. And you can do that in VS using two different mechanisms. You can go to References and bring up the Manage NuGet packages. And you will see that we have done a lot of improvements in the NuGet client as well. And we are, continuously investing in this area. As an example, this is the client for NuGet 3.0. And UWP is one of the early adopters of NuGet 3.0. And now, using the NuGet client, you can actually filter the NuGet packages to see which of the NuGet packages are currently installed for your project, which of the NuGet packages that you are using have upgrades on NuGet.org, and you can also even include the pre-release packages for your search. So let's go and search for .NET Core. Now, as soon as I do it, right here, I see that there is an up arrow which indicates that there is an upgrade to .NET Core UWP NuGet package. Now, I can click on the upgrade button right here, and it will install the package for me. The other mechanism is you can go to project.json file, which is used by NuGet 3.0, and you change the version here, and you make the version as 5.1.0. Now, if you, oops, not a good sign. And this is what we call, it's a preview build. We are still working on it. There are some issues, but we will hash these out before we ship the product. So I'm just going to go and open the project again. Trust me, never happened in my dry run. I've done it like 10 times now. Okay. So here's my project again. And let's give it a try one more time. So I opened the project.json, and let's try changing it one more time. We can skip this. So I'm getting this dialog because I'm using a cross-platform app, and this requires me to have the full Xamarin license, which I don't have right now. Okay. Hopefully I will be able to get past this. No, maybe not. Okay. Didn't expect that to happen. Let me give it one more try. Sorry about that. That's not a good sign. The very first demo getting into issues. And I have 80% of my talk is all about demos. Let's see. I'm not sure why this is actually. Okay.
You might want to log out of Xamarin because they've turned off all the Xamarin licensing because it's now free. So if you go into tools and turn off your Xamarin log out and just avoid that, it's because they've all gone free this morning.
Okay, I was not expecting that to break it, but let's see one more time. If I can just unload these solutions or these projects, I might be able to make progress. Let's actually keep going. Okay, cool. Sorry about that. So let's try changing one more time the project.json file and make it as 5.1.0. And now, if I run my application, what is happening behind the scene is NuGet is now doing a restore to download the latest version of NuGet packages directly from NuGet.org on this machine. You can ignore these errors. These are coming from iOS. But my application is still building, and it's now getting running. It started to run against the latest version of .NET Core framework assemblies. Now, this is the My Driving application, which was showcased in Scott's keynote demo as well. And some of my team members have helped build this application. As I said, this is a cross-platform application which was developed using Xamarin. So it runs on iOS, Android, as well as Windows platform. The application, the UWP application, My Driving, actually uses an OBD device. So it uses an OBD device that you can buy it from a shop and plug it into your car. This sample is available for you to download from azure.com. And you can install this application on your mobile device as well. Now, as you start making different trips, you can use this application to record the number of miles you have taken, the amount of gas you have used, what is your amount of time you have spent doing these trips, and what is your overall driver's efficiency. So for example, let's say I'm making a trip right now. I will go and start recording. Because I don't have an OBD device, I will just go and use the simulator. Now, as I am driving, the OBD device in your car will transfer the data, will talk to the mobile application on the phone, and will then send the data to Azure. Once I complete my trip, I can stop recording the trip and save it. So let's say we put it as build 1206. And as soon as I save my trip, I can then go to the past trips to see every trip I have done so far. I can also go to the profile page and see my overall metrics. What was the total distance I have covered? Total time I have taken so far? What was my max speed? And what is my overall driving efficiency? It is because it's all text data right now, my driver efficiency is turning out to be 0%, but trust me, I'm much better than that. I'm a safe driver. So now, as I'm building my application and as I'm showing it to you, you can spot that there are some UI issues in this application. As an example, this image, my profile image, actually looks a little bit distorted, right? Also, just before the talk, I got an email from my designer saying that I am not using the right color for all the metrics. I love dark gray, and that's what I decided to use. But you know designers, right? Like, no, that is not the right color. You have to go and use it. So I said, OK, I will fix it. Now, a typical workflow to investigate and fix some of these issues is you will stop debugging. You will go back to VS. You will either use XAML Designer to bring up the UI, fix some of the issues, and then run your application again to make sure it works. Or you can use some of the new UI debugging tools like Live Visual Tree or Live Property Inspector to investigate some of these issues and make changes. With VS 15 preview, we are introducing some more improvements in this workflow. The very first improvement is the in-app toolbar, which you can see right here. The in-app toolbar is actually associated with the UI debugging tool. So if you are using UI debugging tool, the in-app toolbar will be visible in your application. If you don't like it, you can minimize it as well. The in-app toolbar has three different buttons. The very first one is go to Live Visual Tree. So when you click on this, it will automatically bring up the Live Visual Tree in VS for you. The second button is the Enable Selection button. So if you click on this, you can now start selecting different UI elements in your application and start inspecting them. The third button is the layout addoners. So if you click on this, you will start seeing the layout addoners for the element that you have selected in the running application. So the layout addoners is very useful when you are kind of investigating the issues with overlapping text or overlapping UI elements, you can see what is the layout adorner for the element that you have selected and identify these issues easily. Now let's go to the very first issue that we saw in the app. If you look at this past trips page, you can see the time when I have taken this trip is actually getting clipped. So let's go and investigate that. I'm going to go and enable the selection and select this particular element here. I can go to Live Visual Tree and click on here to go to the exact source location where this element is defined. So right here, the element is defined as text blocks time ago. Right? This is the element that we are looking for. Now, if I look for the margin property, you can see that on the grid, I have applied a margin property. I have a margin of minus 10 for the top, and that's probably what is causing the text to get clipped. The second major improvement that we are introducing to help you easily investigate and fix the UI debugging issues is XAML Edit and Continue. Now, with VS 15 preview, you will be able to edit your XAML file while your application is still being debugged. So let's go and change the margin property right here. So I'm still running debugger, and you can see I'm getting the full, oops, another issue. I'm still getting the full IntelliSense experience. So let's go and set the margin value as 0. In most cases, while your application is running, the editing continue is still in a very early preview, so not everything is polished and working, but you should be able to now edit these properties while your application is still running in the debugger. So now if I go to the past trips, you can see that all the margins are fixed and I no longer have the text trimming issue in my application. Now let's actually go to the profile page and look at the image that looks distorted. So I'm just going to select the image element here and bring up the live visual tree and click on the go to source to open up here. Now, this image is actually, if you look at the ellipse, which has the image brush, the width is actually set to 50 and the height is set to 100, and that's probably what is causing the image to be distorted. So let's go and fix it, and I will change the height to be 100. Now, as soon as I do that, using XAML Edit and Continue, my runtime application gets updated without stopping debugging. I'm still debugging my application and able to make fixes in the XAML source while my app is still being debugged. So that's a huge, huge thing. Thank you. Now let's actually go and look at the metrics issue as well, and let's see if we can fix it. So I'm going to go and select this particular element and open up the live visual tree. And again, I will click on go to source to open up where exactly that metric is coming from. So if I do it, you can see that in this case, it's coming from a user control, right? So every instance of the metric that is in your application is shown, like the total distance, the total time. Each of these is actually an instance of a user control that is rendering in the application. Now, if you look at the ellipse itself, it actually has the fill property set to a static resource. I don't have go-to definition currently supported in editing continue, so I'm just going to go and search for this particular resource. I can double-click on the location where the resource is defined, and you can see right here, it's a color, solid color brush with a color value as dark gray. Now, my designer said that I should be using exactly this color. So I'm just going to copy it and fix it in the XAML. Okay, not good luck, but if edit continue would have worked, you would have seen all these changes being reflected in your running application inside VS. Let's see if we can give it a try one more time, and I can prove my point that editing continue actually works. So again, as I was saying, this is the very first release for XAML Edit and Continue, so not all scenarios are currently working, and we are actively working to improve the experience. So let's say if I want to go and change this to something like red, and boom. Every instance of the user control is updated to reflect the change in your running application. And this is great because you can use now to fix the UI issues, to do even some more advanced scenarios, like add new properties, add new UI element, and you can all do that while your XAML is still running inside the debugger. Once you have done with all the changes, I can stop debugging, and in this case, I'm just gonna roll back to the actual value. I can save everything, and if I run my application again, all the changes I have done so far using XAML and edit and continue will get persisted, and my application will look a little bit more polished and much better with a much better user experience. So if I go to the past trips, you will see the text trimming issue is fixed. If I go to profile, you will see the image looks better, and every user control is now looking much better. We expect the editing continue to be used in the UI debugging workflow. So you will be able to set local properties, update local properties, change the item template. So as in the past view case, we were changing the item template of a list view. And once I do the change, every instance where this item template is being used will get reflected in the running application. You can also update the user controls, as we saw, and make changes there as well. But because it's the very first release for XAML Edit and Continue, we don't expect all the scenarios to be supported. As an example, if you're changing the resources X colon key, we don't expect that. We expect that you will run into some issues with that. Similarly, editing adaptive triggers or animations or visual states are likely not going to be supported in the V1 version of XAML Edit and Continue. If you think there is a strong reason for us to support these scenarios, please send us an email, and we will work with you to understand how we can improve these scenarios in some of the future releases. Now, once your application is polished, the UX is looking good, the XAML is looking good, the UI is great, the next step for building a really good UWP application, a highly rated UWP app, is to make sure it is performant. With Windows 10 running on a variety of devices, starting from desktop and Xbox, where you have a lot of resources for your application, to an IoT device, which is quite resource constrained. It is the responsibility of a developer to make sure that you test your application and make sure it is performant on all these Windows 10 devices. If you have developed a universal Windows application or any of the previous Windows apps, you should be aware of the diagnostic tools that we ship in VS. So we have the application timeline, the CPU usage, the memory usage, and the network profilers, which you can use to profile your application and make sure fix any of the performance issues in your app. With VS 15 preview, we are introducing some more improvements in this workflow to help you identify the performance and accessibility issues while your application is still being developed. I'm happy to introduce UWP App Analysis Tool. So if you go to Diagnostic Tools, you will see a new option called UWP App Analysis. I'm going to go and select this tool, and because I have selected it, I have to rerun my application for App Analysis to work. Now, what is happening is when you run your application with UWP App Analysis, it will start, as your application is running, it will communicate with the XAML runtime. So we have worked very closely with Windows XAML runtime to define a set of rules, performance rules and accessibility rules that we expect every UWP application to be using. And if your application violates any of these rules, the XAML runtime will communicate it to VS, and we will show you inside the events window. So if I bring my application here and bring up the diagnostic tools and move the event window a little bit higher, I'm just going to go and focus on the UWP performance issues for now. And now you're already seeing a couple of violations in my application for performance. The very first violation is the X colon name set on a resource of type solid color brush. So I will double click on this, and it will directly take me to the location where this resource is defined. Now, typically, when you are using resources, the recommendation is to always use X colon key, because the X colon key is used as an ID, and that is what is gets added in the resource dictionary at runtime for the lookup. But if you use X colon name, there are a couple of issues with that. The very first issue is the XAML code gen will go and generate a type for this particular resource, which is not required, and you end up using more memory and CPU for the resource, for your application. The second issue is XAML runtime has done already a lot of performance work to defer load the resources. And by defer load, what I mean is it will only load the resources when it is required. So you don't pay the cost, the performance cost, for all the resources all the time. But if you use X colon name, the resources won't get deferred. And so it becomes a performance hit in your application. So what I'm going to go and do is I'm going to stop debugging and change the X colon name to X colon key. If I run my application again, because I have already fixed this issue, I should no longer see this performance event in the diagnostic tools, in the app analysis. So let's take a look at that. My app is running. If I go to diagnostic tools and put the filter of this, put the filter right for the performance issues, the very first issue is now gone, and I only have one issue left, right? So you can use app analysis to identify the performance issues in your application and then fix them using app analysis. We are also looking at ways where Visual Studio can help you suggest some of the potential fixes, so you can easily use them and fix the issues in your XAML application. Now let's actually keep using the app. So as I go to a different page, let's say past trips, you will notice that as I'm navigating my application, I'm seeing more and more events in the diagnostic tools using app analysis. So some of the other events we have is element is of type is using binding instead of X colon bind to bind property. Now, when you're using data binding in UWP, the recommendation is to always use X colon bind because that is a performant way, and we expect your application to be more performant if you're using X colon bind. So for every instance in my application where I'm using binding instead of X colon bind, I'm seeing an event from the UWP app analysis. There will be some ways for you to turn off these events. For example, if you decide that, no, I want to use binding and not X colon bind, there will be a way for you to suppress these events in the application so that we don't warn you as well. Now, if you keep going down, you will see some more violations, like ListView is not being virtualized due to being placed inside of a stack panel. Now, if I double click on this, it will take me exactly to the location where the ListView is defined. Now, what is virtualization? To explain in very simple terms, if you're using controls like ListView or GridView and loading a lot of items in there, let's say 1,000, 2,000, even 10,000 items in these controls, what virtualization does is it will only create the graphical objects for the items which are currently visible on your device, right? So even though you have 10,000 records in the list view, it will only create the graphical objects for, let's say, 10, 15, or 20 based on the number of items you are currently seeing on your device. Also, it recycles a lot of these objects so that you don't pay cost, the performance cost, for creating 10,000 graphical objects, right? And by default, the controls like ListView and GridView supports virtualization. But a common mistake that developers do is they put the ListView inside another panel, let's say stack panel, or sometimes people put it inside a scroll viewer. And what happens is, because these parent elements, the scroll viewer or stack panel, does not put any constraints on its child elements, you end up losing virtualization. So now in my app, I'm paying a lot more cost for the records that are not even visible on my device, and hence my application is less performant. So let's go and fix this issue. So I'm going to go and stop debugging. And get rid of this stack panel. Once I do it, I will run my application again. And because I have fixed this issue, I should no longer be seeing the virtualization error or virtualization violation from App Analysis tool in VS. So let's go and take a look at that. So I have my app up and running here. I bring up the diagnostic tools. And now filter again just to performance. So we expect that later on when we release the UWP app analysis tool, you will be the filter settings will be persisted as well. It's not currently persisted. So if I go to the past trips page, I'm still seeing the data binding issues because I have not fixed them, but I'm no longer seeing any list view virtualization issue. So again, UWP analysis will be a super useful tool, a power tool for you to identify the performance issues in your application. And this is all being done dynamically. It's being validated by the rules that XAML runtime has defined. And you can use this tool to identify the performance issues and then fix them in your application. Similarly to performance, you can also use app analysis to identify the accessibility issues in your app. So if I just go to the accessibility events right now, you will see that I already have few violations in my application. And the very first event says that element has a UI name that is null or empty. So I'm going to go and click on this, and it will take me to the location where exactly this element is defined, which is the start recording button in the current trip view. So I will switch to my app and go to that particular element. So I'm going to go to the current trip and then go and select this particular button, the start recording button. And I can go to the live visual tree and right here, select the start recording button. As soon as I do that, you will look at the live property inspector. And you will see that for every accessible element in your visual tree, we now show you the accessibility properties in the Live Property Explorer. If you go down, you can definitely use search, or if you go down, you will see that the name property is actually not set for this button. And that's the reason the runtime is throwing an event saying that this particular element is not accessible. Now, typically, for a button, by default, the automation peers will try to use the content of the button for accessibility. Because I have an ellipse as a content, it's not able to use that. And I don't have automation properties.name set, so my element is currently not accessible. So let's go and fix that as well. So I'm going to go and stop debugging again, go in here, and say automation properties.name, and set this to start recording. Now, once I do this, if I run my application again, you will see that that particular event for accessibility will no longer exist in the app analysis. So you can use the UWP app analysis to identify accessibility issues in your applications as well. Going beyond UWP app analysis, we have done a lot of other work to help you easily identify the accessibility issues in your application. And it is very important. We want every UWP developer to think about of every user for their potential, for their application. So thinking of the visually impaired user, we have now bring in the narrator integration directly in VS as well. So if I just go and switch to VS 2015 Update 2. If I go to Debug, Other Debug Targets, there's a new option right here for Debug App for Accessibility. I can double click on this, and what is going to happen now, that application will be launched inside VS as a normal debug, for normal debugging, but it will also launch the narrator along with this app. It will also launch the narrator along with this app to help me identify the accessibility issues. So in this release, Windows has done a lot of work to actually improve the narrator experience in VS. So let me go and quickly see, and here is the narrator. And right here. So what do you think? The Windows team has done a lot of work to actually improve the narrator experience in Windows, and what you have done is introduced a new mode in narrator, which is the narrator dev mode. Once I launch my app with debug for accessibility, what Narrator does, it turns my entire application as black box. And this is intentional, because we want you to think about how a visual impaired user will be using your application. Now, the only way for you to navigate your application will be to use the
Demo-pip window
to tap button.
Volume level 100.
And you can see the narrator actually reading what exactly a visually impaired user will be listening for your application.
Tab.
So you can use this to navigate through different controls in your application to identify the accessibility issues. If you find them, you can then use the UI debugging tools, the Live Visual Tree and Live Property Inspector, to investigate why exactly the accessibility is failing and then fix them. So another step to help you build more accessible apps using VS.
My driving off text editor.
And I'm just going to go
Windows
and
shell experience
the
host
narrator.
Window. Exiting
right
narrator.
And it's still work in progress. So that is another improvement that we are making and introducing narrator dev mode to help you easily identify these issues. Now, once your application is built, you have identified and fixed the performance issues, the next step will be to deploy this application on different Windows 10 devices and make sure that your application works on all these devices. So I have a mobile emulator up and running here. So I'm just going to go and select the 4.5-inch emulator and deploy my app on the emulator as well. Now, this is the same UWP project, same UWP package, which will work on all the different devices. That's the power of Windows 10. And if everything goes well, I will see the same application running on the emulator as well. And now what is happening here is when I run my application in the emulator, I'm seeing an exception in my code. And the exception is type load exception. Right? So what is happening is I'm using an API, which is the image scanner API, which is desktop specific. Right? So it only exists on desktop, and I'm using desktop extension SDK to use this API. So when I run this application on mobile, the application crashes because the API does not exist. So one of the community PMs, and this is great, one of the community PMs, Lucian, who is a PM on the managed languages team, he actually created a NuGet package called platform-specific analyzers that will help you identify these platform-specific APIs where your application is being developed. So if you go to references, manage NuGet packages, and search for platform-specific, you will see this NuGet package that exists that you can use for your UWP application and use it to write adaptive code. So I'm just going to go and install this NuGet package. And it download all the bits from NuGet.org. It's now installed in my project. I will reload all the files. Now if I go back to my XAML.cs, you will see that I will automatically start seeing some warnings for the API. So I can already see a squiggle inside the editor, which tells me that the API that I'm using is actually platform specific, right? This NuGet package actually integrates with Roslyn, and so I'm also getting the light bulb. I can click on that, and it will tell me that I should consider adding putting an if block around this API or the entire method. So I'm just going to go and click on if this, and it will automatically go and wrap my API inside an adaptive check. So it's a pretty handy tool for you when you're writing your UWP application to make sure that if you start using any platform-specific API, you will get warnings, and then you can use the light bulbs to go and wrap it up into adaptive checks. Now, if I go and run my application again, because the API will no longer, what is going to happen with the adaptive check, it will go on mobile, it will try to see whether this API exists, and because the check will come out to be false, it will never invoke that API, and now my application is up and running on mobile as well. So it's a pretty useful tool, and now I have the same application, my MyDriving application, running on desktop as well as on my mobile device. In addition to this, we have done some more improvements for the debugging workflow. So if you go to the debug menu and go to other debug targets and bring up the debug installed Apex package window. For local machines, you will now see that we are actually showing two different categories of applications in the debug installed Apex window. The one is the application that are currently running. So on devices like desktop or IoT, you can actually go and attach the debugger to an existing application as is and start debugging the application. Simply like just attach to process, right? On Xbox and HoloLens, this is currently not supported, but something we will be working to bring it on Xbox and HoloLens as well. The second category is not running applications. So you can also go and use the debug installed Apex package command to attach to an application that is installed on the device but is not currently running, and you can start it from here, and the VS will automatically attach the debugger for it. And this works on Xbox and HoloLens as well. So if I go and search for a particular app, let's say app one, I can select it and click start. Now, as soon as I do it, the application launches and the VS debugger is attached to it. So I can start debugging it from now. That's pretty much it from the debugging scenario. Now let's actually talk about authoring. Over the last 9 months, we have been talking to a lot of customers, and we have heard a loud and clear feedback that developers love using XAML editor and IntelliSense to write their markup. And we are committed to make the XAML editor the best editor out there, and we are continuously investing in that. So let's actually go to VS 15 preview, and I'm going to go and open up a page called profileview.xaml. If I go at the top and click right here in the namespaces, you will see something familiar, a light bulb popping up. Now, the light bulb has been supported for C# editor for quite some time. It's a power tool. It helps you quickly fix issues, namespace issues. It helps you quickly refactor code. And we are trying to bring that power of light bulb to XAML editor as well. So if you go and click on the light bulb, it will give me an option to remove unused namespaces. If you click on this, and boom, it gets rid of all the namespaces that are currently not used in your page, and you can get rid of it. So we are looking into these improvements to bring the light bulb experience in XAML editor as well. This is just one example. Another potential examples can be that we are currently investigating if we can use the light bulb to do code refactoring, right? To automatically help you create styles as an example. And that is currently that we are also investigating for the light bulb experience. Also, if you go to and use the IntelliSense, we have done some improvement there as well. If I go and start using IntelliSense and say map, you'll see the map control being listed right here in the IntelliSense, even though it exists in a different namespace. The map is defined as windows.uis.xaml.controls.maps, but now I can directly see map being listed in the namespace here as well. And if I go and use it, the IntelliSense will automatically generate the prefix for me, And it doesn't require me to go and say maps colon. It will, you can directly type map, and we will automatically generate the namespace prefix for you in the editor. A very small improvement, but will probably help you be a lot more productive when you are writing and using XAML editor and IntelliSense. Now, switching to Blend. We know a lot of developers out there use Blend as a way to author their UI, right? They love using Blend to create their UI, to design their UI. And it has been our backlog for quite some time. A common complaint from the users from Blend is, it's so tough to find resources in Blend, right? If we have hundreds of resource dictionaries, thousands of brushes, it's just a nightmare to go and find a particular brush. So we have done a small update to introduce the search in the resource panel now. So if you go to the resource panel, you can now use the search there and start typing there. So if I say back, the resource panel will automatically go and filter the resources based on the string that you are searching for. Once you have it, you can start, you can click on this and start updating your resources right there. Again, a small improvement in the resource panel in Blend will, but probably will help a lot of Blend users who are working on complex application. Now, one final thing. While we were talking to a lot of customers, there was some feedback around the packaging workflow. And one of the common pain points that the developer had was the continuous need to sign in and set the configurations while they were creating the packages. So we have tried fixing that as well. So let's say if you go and bring up the store and you associate your app with the store, so this is the standard experience that exists in VS right now. I can simply go next, and I'm already signed in right now. And I can go and reserve a new app name, or I can use one of the existing app name that I have in the store. And I can go and associate my application. Now, once your application is associated with store, if you go to the store, create Apex package command, at the top, you are seeing a new option. And what it is saying is, create the application package for demo UWP app, which is the reserved app name I just did, by Navis Saxena. I can go and click on next, and it will also cache all the like the last time when you created the package, what are the configuration settings you had, it will cache them as well, and you can just click create to create the packages. So what we are trying to do is, we are allowing you to create Apex packages without requiring you to sign in or change configurations every time if your application is associated already with the store. So again, a small improvement, but something I'm sure you all will love. So that's pretty much it. Let's go to the slide and recap some of the things we saw and what are the call to actions. We talked about .NET Core UWP 5.1.0 NuGet package. So if you have an existing UWP application, go and use the latest version of .NET Core UWP NuGet package. We talked about XAML editing continue, a very powerful tool which will be shipping in VS 15 RTM, which will allow you to update your XAML source while your application is still running in the debugger. We looked at UWP app analysis. This is currently not there in VS 15 preview, something we are planning to ship. So what you were seeing essentially was the early prototype bits of what we think the experience will look like. But you will be able to use the UWP app analysis to identify the performance and accessibility issues in your application, investigate them, and fix them. We looked at tools for accessible apps. We looked at Dev Narrator Mode, another powerful tool. And with integration with VS, you now will be able to use Narrator to identify the accessibility issues in your application and fix them. We briefly talked about the debug installed Apex package command, which will allow you to now debug an application installed on a remote device like Xbox and HoloLens directly from VS. We looked at the Lightbulb experience in editor, which will allow you to fix namespaces, and we are looking in different other ways to extend the Lightbulb support. So if you have any ideas, please send us to us. We'd love to review those ideas and see what we can do there. Also, we looked at the new IntelliSense experience, which allows you to directly add the elements in your markup without adding the prefix. We looked at the search in the resource pane to allow you to easily find the resources in complex application without actually going and clicking on individual resources or resource dictionaries. And finally, we looked at the package wizard improvement to allow you to create an Apex package without requiring you to sign in or change the configurations every time if your package is associated with the store. Here are some of the resources that we have for you. So try downloading the latest version of VS 2015 Update 2 as well as VS 15 Preview to try some of the new tools that I showed. You can also download the Windows 10 Anniversary SDK from insiders.windows.com. And if you need any help on UWP development, we are committed to work with you. If you run into any issues, send us an email at hellouwp@microsoft.com, and we will work with you to understand your issues and help fix them. And if you're running into specific issues with .NET Native, send us an email on .NET Native@microsoft.com. I will open the floor for questions now. You can send me an email if you want to at navit@microsoft.com or follow me on Twitter at SaxenaNavit. I have my UX team right there behind, and they would love to hear your feedback. So if you're interested, once the session is done, please step out and participate in 3-minute flash voting for us to get your feedback. And finally, your feedback helps us improve. Please take some time to evaluate the session and give us your feedback. I hope you really liked it, and let's open up for any questions. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.